Okay, Shalom Aleichem. We are in Chavis Halvavis, Shar HaBitochen. We started the Shar HaBitochen last week. The essence of Shar HaBitochen, as we discussed last week, is training ourselves, learning to grow comfortable, to grow secure in the knowledge that we're in Hashem's hands. Whatever we're going through in life, we move through with the knowledge that Hashem is on top of the situation. Now, because of the questions that came up in last week's shiur, I think that in order to really set the whole tone right, we should, not inside, I'm going to articulate outside, points that the Chavis HaVavis makes a bit later, in order to really set this on track. In other words, again, what are we saying? We're saying that the essence of Bitochen is the knowledge that I never have anything to worry about because I'm in Hashem's hands. The obvious, natural, real-life question to that is, I've been through many experiences where it did not exactly work out well. And you come and tell me, well, it's all fine, because it's all going to be fine because I'm in Hashem's hands. So we began discussing last week, and I think that it is important here to preempt what the Chavis HaVavis says later. I think that this really sets down the whole essence of the discussion. Then we can move on to all the different points that the Chavis HaVavis is going to introduce us to. So the Chavis HaVavis later, in the second parak, in Parak Beis, he says that there are really 7 points. And this, for me, is the essence of it. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, just a second. He lays down 7 points that provide the basis for it. And obviously it's with the understanding that it's not that, like we said last week, I'm recapping, Bitochen does not mean that we're facing a situation, will I get the job, will I not get the job? And Bitochen means that I have confidence that I'll get the job and then I will. If that's what Bitochen means, then you got many experiences in life that are going to conflict with your Bitochen and weaken it. And as we discussed, the Chazon Ish says that that's not called Bitochen. Assuming that A will work out rather than B is called Nevuah. That's called prophecy. If you're a prophet, you have basis to assume that A will work out and not B. As long as you're not a prophet, you don't know. What is Bitochen? So Bitochen is the understanding that, and here I'm going to provide, Chavis HaVavis provides 7 points. That if you really internalize these points, Bitochen follows naturally. Still not easy, but it follows naturally from these 7 points. And the beauty of it is that all of these 7 points are points that we already know, are points that are already obvious to us, that we live our lives with these points as Jews. Sorry, just one moment. This shir will be dedicated to Hashem Leili Nishmas from Yitzchak ben Meir. Leili Nisham. But bringing it together, you bring these 7 points together, the way the Chavis HaVavis does, if you really have them all together in your mind, at one point, it's almost like a no-brainer, whatever situation you're facing. It is a brainer, because we have to really internalize it and move it to the realm of life experience rather than understanding. So Chavis HaVavis says as follows. He says, you have to focus on the following 7 points. Number 1 is the knowledge that Hashem loves you intensely. Loves you and cares about you intensely. We all know that. We don't always feel it. We don't always experience it. But that's 1. Remember, the essence, the essential definition of a Jew is Hashem's child. A child of Hashem. Even more than that, we might say, an only child. How can one parent deal with millions of an only child? Okay, Hashem is not limited to human capacity. But that's really what it is. Each person is, for Hashem, a universe in himself. Hashem loves you intensely and cares about you intensely. That's 1. 2 to keep in mind is that Hashem is constantly focused on you. Loves you intensely, and he is intensely focused on you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is something to experience. You're walking through the street, or any other time when you're not exactly doing something right now, you're not busy with something, close your eyes for a moment and sense that. Right now, if you want to know what Hashem is focused on, He's focused on me. Feel that. He's focused on me with intense love. So that's point number two. Hashem is never distracted. Hashem is never distracted by anything else. He can maintain absolute focus on, yes, the billions of things he's busy with. But remember also that his primary focus and his primary interest is in his children. So that's number two. He loves you and he's intensely focused on you all the time. What's point number three? Point number three is that Hashem can do whatever he wants. Nobody can prevent him from doing anything. Hashem is in absolute control, which means he loves you, he's focused on you. If he wants you to have $10 billion right now, it is a cinch. Hashem is creating things that are a lot more, entail a lot more than $10 billion on a regular basis. So why don't you have those $10 billion? You need them. I need them. I don't need that many. A billion would be enough comfortably. But why don't I have them? Hashem loves me so much. He's focused on me all the time. He can do it very easily. Nothing can stop him from anything he wants to do. And here's number four. And this is the also something that we all know, but this is where we're already faced with the challenge of bitachon. Number four is that Hashem knows what's best for you much better than you do. And therefore, if you think about the fact, think of it this way. Hashem is looking at you with intense love, and he's holding $10 billion in his hand, Kiviyach. Why isn't he giving them to you? Because you think it's good for you. But he knows much better than you what's good for you. And therefore, he's not giving you. He's not giving you. Number five is, and this is what makes number four, it takes it a bit further in being able to swallow it. Number five is that when Hashem is dealing with you, he is encompassing the full span of well, there's two parts here. Just to state it in one piece, Hashem is on top of your life from the moment you were conceived until, not until the last moment of life, but after that too, right? Hashem is busy planning his vision for you from the moment you were conceived, even before that, from the beginning of time. Hashem had your appearance on the scene timed, and he was busy manipulating things in the course of history. History is a very complex business, right? We have to realize that there are the big events of history, but Hashem is always busy manipulating and intertwining things, making sure that 700 years ago, two people were on different sides of the world would end up in the same town so that they can marry, because that's necessary for you to appear on the scene in 700 years. Hashem is busy. He's planning your, but again, let's not go that far. Hashem is working with you on the basis of from the moment you're born until after 120. And the things that he's doing with you now, we think in terms of the here and now. Maybe we'll think ahead in terms of a year. It's very hard to really be factoring in and making concrete plans based on my plans for 3 years from now, right? And therefore, whatever we decide and we don't decide, what we want and we don't want, what we think is good and we don't think is good, is based on, call it the expanded here and now, right? Whatever we can already encompass. But Hashem is saying, one minute, you're not taking into account 40 years from now. I am. And therefore, you might want this, but no. That will really mess things up in terms of what's supposed to be happening in 40 years. Or even more than that, I have a very, very specific plan for you afterwards. I know where I want you to get to. I have to remember that afterwards, Olam Haba is not kind of like, well, you know, you lived your life, And it's depressing to think that after that it's all over, so I'll tack on something called Olam Haba. It's not like a consolation prize because of the fact that death is not an exciting idea. It's exactly the other way around. You have to realize that that's when life really starts. That's when life really starts. And right now, he is setting us all up for our unique place there. This is mamish like, you know, going through this world. It's like, I probably quoted in the past, the Journey song, maybe Rottenberg, about the two, apologize, about the two infants in the mother's womb who are arguing about whether what you see is what you get. This is all there is, right? Lifespan is 9 months. And the other one is saying, no, there's unquestionably, there's so much more to it. And everything really just begins when we leave this. And then the song culminates with one of there's the optimistic one and the pessimistic one. There's the broader vision one, and then there's the here and now one. And the song culminates with the optimistic one suddenly disappears. And you hear the pessimistic one saying, I knew this was coming. That's it. Now from now on, I'm here by myself. My existence is cold, right? And then you hear from a distance, faintly, is the optimistic one's voice. It's two different singers. Optimistic one's voice is saying, don't warn me when my life just started. The faint cries that you hear are the cries of Mazel Tov, it's a boy, right? So this is really Olam Hazeh. That's what Olam Hazeh is. So the understanding that whatever is going on in this world, Hashem is picturing something. He's busy planning your real life, right? That's why the Jew was always able to move, even into death, with a sense of mission, with a sense of optimism, we'd even say with a sense of joy. And here we're not talking about death, Baruch Hashem. We're talking about the different things, the different curveballs in life. Hashem is saying, I know, this is a little tough to go through. I know what I'm doing and I know where I'm heading. So again, this was point number five. Bearing in mind that while you are dealing with the here and now, Hashem is busy guiding things in the span of your full life, from the moment of conception, like we said even before that, until way after 120. Yes. Good question. Question is, we're talking here about Hashem guiding your life in the direction He wants to take it. And then what happens with the idea that you can mess things up through, let's say, we'll talk materially, failing to do the right ishtablis, or more importantly, spiritually, you didn't make the right choices. You set things off on a spiral. What happens now? So I want to answer that on two layers. And this is also something that we'll be seeing more in detail as we go through this shot. But number one is the understanding that when we say that Hashem, let's go back to point number one, cares about you, right? And is intensely focused on you. And He's guiding your entire life. That includes also that if you made a wrong turn, Hashem immediately begins guiding things back to where they need to be. Now, the more you're on that track, meaning the more you want that to be going on, then the more Hashem will be doing that for you. And that's a big part of the purpose of learning Shara B'Tov. Because the more a person feels, the more a person lives with the sense that I'm in Hashem's hands and He's guiding my life, the more actively Hashem will be doing that, so to speak. That is something that deserves more elaboration, but I'm saying it now briefly in the context of this very important question. So it's that understanding. Yes, a person can make wrong choices, and that will compromise things. But nevertheless, a wrong choice is not the end of the road. Person then goes from there, tells Hashem, okay, I made a wrong choice. I want to get back onto the right track, and then Hashem guides him from there. The route now might be a little bit more difficult. But I forgot, it was a Rebbe of my wife who used to say it like this. You are in the best possible situation that you could be in the circumstances that you put yourself because of your own free will. That's a little convoluted, but I think we got it, right? So this is that understanding. Hashem, lo yisach boitz b'mois hameis, even if a person sinned severely, lo yisach boitz b'mois hameis ki mishuva midochav b'choya. Hashem is there ready to move things back in the right direction. And as long as we're on that track, he's on that track even more than we are. Did we answer the question? Okay. So that's point number five. The truth is that for our purposes, we could leave it at that. But you know what? If we're doing this already, we'll go through point number six and seven. Even though, to my mind, these five already bring it to a very, very solid place. Let's see number six and seven and then recap. Okay? Number six is the understanding that nobody else can influence your life outside of Hashem. So we said that Hashem is focused on you and he cares about you and he can do whatever he wants. But maybe somebody else can throw a dart in from the side. Right? Hashem is, you know what he wants. Somebody else can mess it up. And this is the understanding that no, nobody can get a finger in outside of Hashem's plan. So therefore, this actually brings us to a very fundamental point, which also all these things here need elaboration and will be elaborated Bezus Hashem as we go through Hashem, Yizakenu Hashem, to get through this. But give an example. Somebody did do something to hurt me, aggravate me, mess me up, cause me a loss, etc. So the Baal Bitachon approaches that with the mindset of, like David HaMelech said, Kim Omaloi Kaleo. This is once again Hashem speaking to me through this person and saying, can you handle this curveball? Can you handle this curveball? And this is something very, very beautiful from the Israel Talbot. When you go to sleep, you say Kriya Shema Lamita, is prefaced with that little paragraph, I forgive anybody who sinned against me, etc. And then you follow with Shema. What is Shema? Shema is the start and end of the day with refocusing. Everything going on in my day, everything in my life is me and Hashem. Hashem Echad. You should really say Hashem and me. Okay? Hashem Echad. Hashem is one means that that's all that's happening in my life. That's all that's happening in my life. As I start my day, I start by saying Hashem Echad, and I move out into the day hoping to be able to hold on to that focus. It's not an easy business. It's not an easy business. It's part of the challenge of Olam Hazeh. It's part of our glorious role as people. But it's not an easy business. And throughout the day, we're inevitably, things that come up are going to distract us. That's why we end the day by, again, bringing it, okay, we got all over the place throughout the day, but now, you know, let me bring it all back together by saying, again, at the end of the day, Hashem Echad, this was all Hashem. Once I say that, Israel Talbot says, I'm lying in bed now, it's quiet. Right? Things are settling down. And I say Hashem Echad while I'm thinking of what this person said, what that person did. And now I say Hashem Echad and I say, oh, Hashem Echad. If so, I could just forgive everything. Much easier said than done. I know. And you know what? I'm utilizing the opportunity to say it when it's easy. That's what we're doing here. This is such an important part of what we're doing here. We want to talk when it's easy to talk, because by talking and talking when it's easy, well, that's just Hashem be equipped to deal with it when it gets a little tougher. Okay, so that's number six. The understanding that nobody can get in a dart from the side. Nobody can get in a foot or a finger. Hashem doesn't allow it. So this brings us back to the point of, it's all Hashem's control. Whatever's going on in my life is Hashem implementing his specific plan and program that he has for me. You have to realize, neshamas are not uniform. Every neshama is very specifically designed and designated. They never were two of the same people. And that's why every individual Jew is so cherished by Hashem. There are no carbon copies. And therefore, every person's life is a whole different program. Because what this person's neshama needs in order to make it shine, the other person's neshama needs other things in order to make it shine. So to bear that in mind also, each of us has a whole different life program. No two people were ever the same. No two neshamas were ever the same. No two people's lives were ever identical. all part of that understanding. Hashem has his own specific plan for me, and he's mapping that out according to his plan. And number seven is that Hashem's chesed is unconditional. You don't have to worry about justifying Hashem's chesed. Hashem is willing to do it. The proof being, as someone says elsewhere, what did you do to merit being conceived and born in the first place? And after you were conceived, birth is not a simple business. The fetus developing in the womb is not a simple business. What merits were you riding on then? It's because Hashem wants you, decided he wants you in his world. He wants that relationship with you because he loves you, because he wants to give you that goodness. And you don't have to be worrying about justifying Hashem's chesed. Now, this is an important point to qualify. Because later the Chavos Halevavos tells us that you want to be talking to Hashem, you can't be spiting him. A person can't come and say, yeah, I'll do whatever I want, and I know that Hashem loves me, it'll all be fine. Right? Hashem will be doing. You have to justify Hashem's chesed. You have to justify your bitachin. Here he's telling us that you don't. So here I just want to just put this into perspective. Again, these are all things that we'll be elaborating on as we go further. There's two different points. Certainly a person who's going to live his life saying, Hashem is going to do the best thing for me no matter what I do, he's headed for a path of disaster, right? A person can mess up the opportunities that Hashem gave. How does this come back to the point that you raised before? That comes back to the point of that, and this is really the point that Chavos Halevavos is making. If I live my life wanting to please Hashem, and then even if I make mistakes, I want to make them up by pleasing Hashem, then you can trust that Hashem will be providing you with his chesed unconditionally. 1 minute, I just said a condition. So the idea is like this. Sometimes, especially if we're going to be learning Chavos Halevavos, I don't want to spend too much time on this because this is a little bit more deep, more getting into the nitty-gritty of it. But sometimes there might be a sense of, especially as you learn Chavos Halevavos, the immensity of Hashem's chesed. And we went through Shara Bechina where we learned to note that, right? Naturally, it isn't natural to really sense all the chesed that Hashem is doing with you. So much of Hashem's chesed goes over our heads, even though it's obvious, right? What's involved in a breath of air, all the chesed that's involved in that moving through your systems, etc. And the Chavos Halevavos wanted to get us from there to Shara Avodas HaElokim, that really, really internalized. We spent a lot of time on Bechina, learning to sense Hashem's chesed in our lives. From there, he wants us to get to a place of feeling indebted, feeling that we want to just dedicate ourselves, our lives to Hashem as a result. But what can happen as a result is that a person might reach a place of, okay, 1 minute. So now I have a respiratory system that's working right. I have a digestive system that's working right. I have eyes that are working right. Right, I have an immune system that's working right. What am I doing exactly to pay back for all these different things? Right, I have to keep on top of them because if I let down my guard, you know, my tefillah has to be for my respiratory system, my chesed has to be for my digestive system. I'm gonna drop a little bit on one of those fronts, it's all gonna crash. No, Hashem says, don't worry about justifying my chesed, you worry about dedicating your life to me, and I will provide you with a lot more chesed than that warmth. Don't worry about justifying my chesed. But yes, do worry about living loyally. Living loyally, living with dedication, being a child who wants to give his father that nachas. That, do worry about. That, worry about. But if you're living your life that way, which includes making mistakes, living your life wanting to please Hashem, wanting to bring him that nachas, and making the mistakes that you'll make along the way, don't worry, my chesed will be there. And here we come back to the point that we said before. If you're living your life this way, part of that chesed will include that if you make the mistakes and you want to now repair them, I'll be there to help that. I'll be there to guide that too. So these are the seven points. So I want to recap that. Yes, question. I'll recap afterwards. It's
called duty of the heart. But most of this seems to be duty of the brain, and then you're trying to make your heart. Like, trust is a heart issue. You can't, like, it's easy to say trust, but to actually deal with it is one thing. And Hashem will fulfill your trust in people trusting him, but you can't really trust him, you're only trying. Does he fulfill people who try?
Oh, like, okay.
You know, it's not.
Yeah. So you're raising a few points. First of all, duties of the heart sounds like it's just an issue of having the right feeling. Well, here we're seeing a lot more mental exercise, if you will, that you have to go into this. So I'll tell you what Avigdor Miller always used to say. Well, first of all, look at the Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Chavis Alvavis, it's not called duties of the heart. It's called duties of the mind. He stressed time and time again, this was one of the big Rabbi Millerisms that I grew up with until I finally found that it is actually an Ibn Ezra. This is my experience. This is one of the, I'll just throw this in parentheses, that growing up under a great man, for me, knowing that I was being influenced, living under that waterfall, right? So often people will get into what is the source, et cetera, et cetera. It's being connected to a source of tradition, just and really experiencing that, experiencing the greatness of being exposed to. For me, the sources afterwards, and Baruch Hashem, I had the skills of learning a lot of the sources and catching up with many of the things I learned from him, were just adding color. But the weight still remained in the fact that these are things that he passed down based on his rabbein. This is one example of that. He said, lev means mind, lev means mind. And this is something that made people very nervous. We want lev to be the heart, right? We like the heart better than the mind. But he was always saying that. And that was also something that, as an adult, after he was already not alive anymore, I found that it's well based in the Rishonim. Ibn Ezra says it in the Pasuk of B'chal Levavcha. But really, if we want to say it in a fully rounded way, lev means what you might call, I guess we'd use the word the psyche, like the whole system of the mind with the emotions where it all comes together. So it's true. There's no question about it. The Chavis HaVavis wants us to focus on things with our mind. And by focusing on them enough, by realizing them enough, they'll make their way to our hearts and it'll all come together that way. Just give me one more moment. I just want to round out this point. So, and having said that, we come to the next part of your question. Some of us is piling on a lot of mental exercise here. Is it enough to try? And here we come back to the point that we just said. Chavis HaVavis says, don't worry about justifying Hashem's chesed. Worry about doing your part. Hashem wants us to try. And I'll add another point. You'll often hear that we are a lowly generation. Anybody who's never heard that here? We are a lowly generation. Often it comes across in the sense of banging us over the head. Look how lousy we all are. Now, I did not invent the 20th century. Right? I didn't, neither did anybody here. None of us created that reality. None of us created the effects of being in 2,000 years of gullus. If it puts us into a lowly state, it's not our fault. On the contrary, we have limited spiritual capacity. It's important for us to realize that. But that is exactly what defines the greatness of our times. The nachas that we give Hashem is that we are not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's. We're not going to be the Tanaim of Amiroyim. And nevertheless, with our limited capacities, we are here to give Hashem everything that we have, everything that we can. This gives Hashem a lot of nachas. And certainly, certainly, unquestionably, that's what Hashem wants. Our efforts, we're doing those efforts, then He is there to provide that chesed without us justifying it, like I said before. And even the great generations who are much, much greater than us, whose spiritual capacities was much greater than us, they also couldn't justify Hashem's chesed. They also needed to come on to this understanding that at the end of the day, all Hashem wants is the efforts. I'm sorry, just you were going to ask a question. Got it, okay. Is late, can I get Bina? Yes, it is.
Because Bina is that concept of taking your heart and, you know, the emotions. Isn't that concept of like, you know, that Bina is the very soul of the heart?
That's right. That's right.
It's like, that's really what you have to have heart in order to do that. I feel like that's the next.
So it's true. It's true. What we're really saying is that it's the whole system. It's the system of the mind and the heart coming together. That what we're feeling is based on our understanding, on the truths that we know. We don't suffice with one without the other. Person just says, I let my heart guide me wherever. That's a very flighty kind of Yiddishkeit. A person who just works with the mind, it's not really who he is, right? We're talking about learning the truths, not just following our emotions, learning the truths and then enabling them working to enable them to penetrate our hearts, to bring it to the emotional level, and then to live it all passionately. You're going to ask another thing. That's right.
So how does Hashem treat a person who's not there yet and you can't faith, trust, and you don't have it?
How does Hashem relate to a person who understands the concept but doesn't have it yet? Hashem tells him, learn Shara Bitochen and try to enhance it. And that is really the serious answer to that, because Bitochen comes back to, like many other areas in Avodas Hashem, it is a life career. It's a life career. What's expected of us is take the steps we can take to do it. You know, let me just lay down a general principle here. Any of the mitzvahs that we're commanded to do with our hearts, you can't command a person to feel something. What is the command? The command is take the steps toward gaining those feelings. That's the command. So Hashem says, I'm providing you with a chavis halvavis, and if you're going to apply yourself to trying to gain those feelings, they'll be enhanced. They'll be enhanced. Will you reach perfection? Probably not. But this is what is being asked of us, and we will see by applying yourself to these limudim, our bitachon will become enhanced. To what level? It'll depend on the individual. That's fine. Question.
We're not commanded to present to love our parents. We're commanded to honor our parents. However, when it comes to Hodesh Hashem, it does say, "Vahaptas Hashem alokecha v'kovod atzad v'kol nafshecha." That seems to be a command that you must love God with all your heart and with everything that you have. That is a commandment,
actually. So there are a number of commands. So yeah, the truth, that's what I was referring to. There are a number of commands about emotions in the Torah. There's a command to love Hashem. There's a command to love the ger, which means literally love the convert. It also means love the newcomer, right? If you can expand it a little bit. Of the newcomer, the person who doesn't have natural lovers, you love him, right? V'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, love your fellow. There are other emotions that the Torah commands us. To fear Hashem, to fear your parents, feel reverence toward them. It commands us that when you give tzedakah, this is something very interesting. Don't just give tzedakah with a hard heart. You have to feel the compassion when you give it. With all these things, it comes back to the same point. The understanding in these commands, this is how I was mekabel it from my rabbein, is work toward gaining those feelings. These are not feelings that come naturally. There's not feelings that come naturally. If you have them more naturally, wonderful. If not, then work toward gaining those feelings by taking the steps that will help lead you there. When it comes to loving Hashem, it doesn't work. I remember a scene in my house. Brother and sister got into a fight, right? And he started beating her up, and she said, "I hate you." So he punched her again. He said, "Now do you love me?" So no, I hate you. Punched her again, even harder. Now do you love me? Yes. Right? So we're talking about Hashem is saying, I'm providing you with the basis to be able to come to that love. Hashem says, I want you to love me. What is Hashem saying? Hashem is saying, I want you to focus on how much I love you. I want you to pay a little bit of attention to everything I'm doing for you. Many, many times people can go through life basically getting from Hashem and never noticing it. The first time they notice Hashem is when something goes wrong. When everything goes right, if I have a perfectly functioning body, well, that's natural, right? No, to be able to take it personally, focus on the fact that I have two working eyes. Not everybody does. And take it personally. Hashem said to you, I'm going to give you not only one working eye, but two, to take that personal, to focus on it. And these are challenges. But Hashem is saying, this is just one example of take the steps toward being able to feel these things. Someone else was starting to ask something? Okay. So here I want to recap what we've seen here. You know, like I said before, we took a jump further into Shara B'Tochen because I think that this is just the way he's talking. He begins the Shara by discussing why it's important to have B'Tochen, where it helps you materially, spiritually and materially. But it's all hard to connect to until you understand the whole basis for bitachon, until you understand where it can come from. So here's what we're laying down here. The way it struck me, the way I experienced Shabbat bitachon is, once you learn these 7 points, you have the key. Then you go from there and you work on it. So again, what are those 7 points? To focus on the fact, Hashem's intense love for you. The fact that Hashem, that's number one, the fact that Hashem is constantly focused on you, never distracted by anything else. The fact that he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to help you, if he wants this to happen this way and that to happen, he can always do it. Limitless. That's number three. Number four is that he knows better than you what's good for you. And he's operating with that, not necessarily with what you want. He's operating with what he knows is good for you, which brings us to number five. He knows what's good for you, factoring in the full scale, this full range of your existence from the moment of conception until after you've moved on to the next stage, to the real life in Olam Haba. And number six was the understanding that nobody else can affect it outside of his will. And number seven was the understanding that he is going to be doing a lot more chesed for you. He wants to be doing the chesed for you more than you're going to justify. And that's really the answer to the question that was raised from a few different angles. What if I'm trying? What if I'm not really there yet? That's where number seven comes in. Don't worry about justifying Hashem's chesed. Be on his track. Be a part of the relationship that he wants with you. And then you don't have to worry about justifying Hashem's chesed. You will be in that reality of leading your life to the best place it can be, working with you toward that. Okay, we'll stop here. If there are any other questions, they're welcome.
I just want to say something. I heard one, I heard you say, the whole garage works with us like a GPS, and every time you turn to the right and you want us to go to the left, the woman on the GPS is saying, go right, then we go to the left, and then he brings us back to the place, and then we go again in the wrong direction, and he says, no, I told you to turn left, and you turned right, and he brings us back again.
It's a very good muscle.
All of life is this GPS.
Very good muscle. I'll repeat that for the benefit of the Zoom participants. Much of what we discussed before about when a person takes wrong turns in life, we're just given a very good muscle of the GPS. The GPS, right? When a person does make the wrong turn, so then it suddenly tells you how it's reconfiguring, right? It's busy planning the route back to the right path. Yashukaya. That's a very, very good muscle to illustrate what we just discussed. This is what Hashem is doing. Hashem begins planning how to get us back to where he wanted to get us. Can a person daven for bitachon? Absolutely. It's an important part of working toward bitachon, just as it's an important part of working toward any other area. Bitachon, okay, this is kind of coming together in a funny way, but tefillah is one of the most powerful forms of hishtadlus in any area. So this is hishtadlus toward bitachon. Absolutely. We will be daven to Hashem to help us feel his involvement in our life. A gute Woche.
A very much, a gute Woche, Kaltov.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to end the recording.